This is a Brain Channel program from the Department of Neurosciences at the UC San Diego School of Medicine. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/brain to explore cutting-edge research, treatment options for conditions related to the nervous system, and the inner workings of the human mind.
Greetings, Bill Mobley for On Our Mind, and we're adding to the list of those interesting presentations that we hope will inform you about the biology of Alzheimer's disease and its treatment. I'm with Mike Raffi, who's a professor here at UCSD, is very involved in evaluating patients with Alzheimer's disease and diagnosing the disorder, and involved also with clinical trials in Alzheimer's disease. And so, Mike, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. I'm a neurologist. I trained here at UCSD in a fellowship program aimed at dementia and cognitive disorders. And after fellowship, I stayed on as faculty, where I took over the directorship of the Memory Disorders Clinic. The Memory Disorders Clinic is really the first point of patient contact, where we provide clinical care to individuals that are concerned about memory loss. And we use the latest techniques in identifying the cause of their symptoms. I also work in the research realm, both in conducting clinical trials as well as in coordinating clinical trials across the country as part of an Alzheimer's disease consortium.
That's great. So what do you learn about Alzheimer's disease from meeting patients with memory concerns? My guess is that some come in with memory concerns that are not really serious concerns. Perhaps we call them the worried well. Others come in and their memory problems are quite real and need further attention and evaluation. Tell us about your clinic and how you operate.
Sure. So Alzheimer's disease typically presents in a very similar way across patients, which is memory complaints. Most of the time when patients are brought into the clinic, their primary care physician may have heard about some complaints regarding memory or other cognitive abilities and may have done a basic workup, but they will send them to our clinic for further evaluation. Typically, patients present with symptoms that revolve around memory impairment that affects their ability to do things. So they will have a great concern about this memory loss. And about 20% of the time, it is in fact the normal age-related forgetfulness. It's very benign. But in order for us to find that diagnosis, we still do a comprehensive evaluation to rule out other causes of memory loss.
And so that differential diagnosis process, the process of sorting out, yes, there's a memory concern, but what could it be due to? Why is that important, and what other disorders do you think about?
So memory disorders in the elderly can be brought about from many causes. One can be medications that they're taking that have side effects, including memory loss. So we do a chart review, if you will, of what medications are they on or have they been taking, what supplements are they using that may affect their cognition. In addition, we'll look for hormonal imbalances, endocrine diseases, as well as signs of depression, all of which can affect cognitive performance.
And depression is an issue, is it? One has to really be cognizant of that in the elderly, because depression and old age sometimes go together.
They sure do. And what we find is that the loss of a spouse or loss of a loved one, a change in their living situation, can in fact accelerate depression and symptoms of cognitive decline. So we typically separate patients from their family members and really interview each member about what are the symptoms that they have observed or have they been feeling, which allows us to really understand the true nature of the process that's taking place.
So it's a very complex process in which you're collecting data, not just from the patient, but also from those who are caring for the, let's say, potential patient here.
That's exactly right. And oftentimes, family members will feel more comfortable describing episodes or experiences that may be very helpful in understanding what is the diagnosis, and they may not do so in the presence of the patient.
So confronted with somebody who has a real memory problem and now reassured that these other concerns, these hormonal concerns, are not an issue, that there's no brain tumor, that there's no brain injury that it could account for these symptoms, how do you proceed?
So we do an initial intake where we interview the family member and the patient, and we'll do a comprehensive neurological examination as well as a brief screening test for true memory impairment. After that, we'll order some blood tests to rule out any potential causes that may be reversible. Mm-hmm. In addition, we will order brain imaging, and we utilize a technique here at UCSD's memory clinic called volumetric MRI, which was in fact developed partially here at UCSD, where we can quantify or measure the size of different parts of the brain and compare the size of an individual's memory areas to what we would expect for their age and their body size. And by looking for shrinkage in that area, we may be able to better understand if there is a medical cause for their memory loss.
Any other tests that you do to help confirm the diagnosis?
Sometimes we will proceed with ordering formal neuropsychological testing. That's a 2-hour battery where a neuropsychologist observes the patient and assesses their cognitive performance on multiple domains over a couple of hours. And that report that they generate is very helpful, particularly in patients where their symptoms may be mild or where they may have, for example, a high educational background, where it may be difficult to discern how much of a decline has there really been.
And any other special tests that you do to help confirm a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease?
There are some patients where we are unsure what the diagnosis is based on all the standard testing that we have. About 2 years ago, the FDA approved a new type of scan, an amyloid PET scan, which allows us to visualize the amyloid plaques that deposit in the brain of someone with Alzheimer's disease. We know that it's FDA approved, however, it is not covered by any insurance. So typically, there is a challenge in covering the expenses for this type of testing. Some patients are interested in pursuing that, and we have the capability to use that test in our patients. There is a double-edged sword with this type of assessment because about 30% of people who have no memory complaints have a positive test result. So we really want to make sure that we're assessing true memory impairment, we confirm it with testing, we've ruled out all other causes, and then we can make a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, either in a symptomatic stage or in fact in an earlier stage called prodromal Alzheimer's disease.
Interesting. And so one has now the tools clinically to get much closer to a defined diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease than even 5 years ago.
We absolutely do. And there are some questions as to how do you proceed? Because in those individuals, we want to counsel them on what to expect and what changes may occur in the future in terms of planning, their finances, and so on. Currently, the treatments that are approved by the FDA for Alzheimer's disease are all for the dementia stage. And these medications do have some benefit, but they don't really affect the course of the disease, the progression of the disease. They just reduce the symptoms. We don't have any medications that would, for example, reduce the amyloid amount in the brain currently that would allow us to alter the course that a patient with amyloid in their brain may be having to deal with in the future.
You know, we talked with Paul Azen and also with Steve Wagner about the therapies that are being tried, the ideas that one can, in fact, reduce the amount of amyloid in brain or perhaps even prevent it from accumulating in brain. You're involved in clinical research. What studies are you involved in now at UCSD?
Being at UCSD, it's a privilege to be at this institution because of the rich history that it has in Alzheimer's disease therapeutic research. That was headed up by Leon Thal many years ago, and his legacy still remains, and UCSD remains a central part of the Alzheimer's therapeutic efforts in this country and, in fact, the world. I have access as a clinician to participate in trials that are cutting edge in terms of new therapies that may reduce Alzheimer's disease progression in our patients. Different techniques that have been developed in the last few years include ways to reduce the production of beta amyloid in the brain, mm-hmm. ways to promote the clearance of beta amyloid out of the brain, as well as gene therapy, where we introduce proteins that may be protective of neurons despite the presence of beta amyloid, beta amyloid being the toxic element in Alzheimer's disease.
So a lot of different approaches now that are coming to the clinic. It must be an exciting time for a clinician to have the sense that things are moving forward.
It's a very exciting time, and it allows us to bring directly from the bench to the bedside some of our basic understanding of biology and neurobiology into the clinic to help our patients. So it is very exciting in the field of Alzheimer's.
What would you recommend to a family whose mom or dad or uncle or aunt or grandma or grandpa are having problems with memory? What would you recommend to them?
My recommendation would be to bring them in to a healthcare provider, primary care physician, family physician, just for an evaluation, a basic screening, to understand whether there really is a memory problem and not wait until these subtle changes have developed into full-blown dementia. We believe in the field that true treatment of Alzheimer's disease is going to be successful in the earliest stages, not waiting to the dementia stage. So at least getting plugged into the system, having a baseline assessment of memory performance, I think is critical to knowing what may come in the future and being prepared for it. Participating in clinical trials is one way to be proactive, to have a chance at least to get access to some of the latest drugs that may in fact reduce the chance of developing dementia in the first place.
And there's always a possibility that it's another medical problem, not Alzheimer's disease, for which there are therapies.
Absolutely.
Michael, thanks for being with us, and this has been On Our Mind.